Hello, everyone. This is Eric Pennington, and welcome to the Spirit of EQ podcast. We're glad that you've tuned in. A few things we wanted to tell you at the beginning of the show, and that's this podcast was created to be a tool to help you, primarily to discover and grow your EQ. Science and our own lived experiences confirm that the better we are at managing our emotions, the better we're going to be at making decisions, which leads to a better life. And that's something we all want. We're glad that you've taken out the time today to listen and hope that something that you hear will lead to a breakthrough. Hey, one last thing. We'd really appreciate a review on whichever platform you use to listen. And if you want to, leave some comments about what you heard today, as well as follow and subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode as we continue this journey. And with that, the show begins. Jeff, welcome.
Hello. How are you, Eric?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing good. Are you in the mood today to talk about triggers?
Well, I was reading the title that you have for this, and I like shooting a gun, and I'm just thinking, how can EQ help me manage my trigger discipline?
Yeah, well,
but I don't think
sorry.
We're not talking, yeah. Okay, because I was really looking, because yeah. I have a tendency to pull to the left a little bit.
Well, I wish I could be of help to you in that regard, Jeff, but I'm going to be no help for you in that regard.
Okay.
And there's another term for triggers, activators.
Activators.
Right. Okay. And we're speaking about specifically about the mental side of the equation, mm-hmm. right? And we all have them because we've all had trauma in our lives, be it a capital T, small t, what have you. Mm-hmm. I also would like to clarify, Jeff, I'm not talking about, hey, I didn't get that job, therefore it was traumatic.
Right.
Good chance that that would not classify as trauma. Now, you didn't get the job because the hiring manager let it slip. I would never hire a woman. Ooh, yeah, we're starting to move in the direction of potentially traumatic. Mm-hmm. But what I'm talking about are those events in our lives that were not only difficult, but sort of nervous system altering, right?
Is it something from your past?
Oftentimes, yeah. But you know, I'd like to be also very clear that we're not just going back into childhood to find them, because trauma can happen at any point in time in our lives.
Okay. So I just want to understand. So when you're talking about a trigger, so when you're confronted by something that maybe comes up against your values or your perceived values?
That could be. I'm going to stay in the lane of there was an event.
Okay.
And in that event, your brain, a la your nervous system, was altered.
Okay.
For example, it could be related to child abuse. If you were abused as a child, be it physical, emotional. I have a personal one. I'll just use it as an example. I was in an auto accident with my dad, and he was drunk. That was a traumatic event, mm-hmm. right? And someone might say, well, then, well, wait a minute, what you're talking about triggers. Well, for example, with me, if I am at a social gathering and there's a lot of drinking going on, that can be a trigger because mm-hmm. that particular accident was related to social drinking.
Okay, that now I understand.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the stories of my own personal traumas. I gave you a little hint of it mm-hmm. there. I want to talk about, well, how can EQ help us with traumas? And as we've done in other episodes, Jeff, this is not a substitute for therapy,
right.
clinical help. If the trauma that you have experienced and that the way it altered your nervous system is still got a sort of you in its grasp, meaning that situation, I get the physiological, I get the nervous system stuff, that would probably, if not certainly, mean you could use clinical help.
Okay.
A psychologist, psychiatrist, and such. But that's not what we do. I'm looking at it through the lens of if you have experienced the trauma, and maybe you did go therapy to get that particular thing, you know, sort of reconciled, rectified, and you're in a healthy place. And this is my limited knowledge, but I can say from my personal experience, the triggers don't just disappear because you got healthy.
No.
All right. Because it's connected to a neural pathway, mm-hmm. right? And such. So I'm thinking of it in terms of, can EQ be a helpful, learnable skill to help you navigate when those triggers come? Whether, again, you have recovered and you got the help you needed and such. Because I think it's easy, and maybe it's easier for some than others, but when we experience that trigger or that activator, right, we can feel bad that we're feeling that,
okay,
that we are being activated,
right,
because you think about our culture, mm-hmm. our society. Well, if you're sick, Jeff, you took the pills, you got the oxygen,
mm-hmm.
and you no longer suffer with coughing and sneezing, so you're okay now,
right?
We like that,
right?
And I think one of the big reasons we like it because it's certainty, right?
Yes, and it's, I don't have to deal with that right now.
Right, exactly. It's behind me. It's not an issue.
Yes.
It's not an issue. And then I think when we discover that, especially when it comes to our brain, that those things are still there, it can be disappointing because we think, oh, I should have been able to, or I should have been, well, it's kind of my calling here to say, it's okay. I think I heard this, I don't know if he was the original quote, if it originally came from him, but Jim Vave, trauma not transformed is trauma transferred. So the event, the person may not necessarily even be part of the responsible party, right?
Right.
And I use the example with the social drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't associate that anytime there's social drinking that they're at fault or they're wrong and that's bad.
Right.
Because it's something that's happening to me internally. You said before recording, you know, about the idea about emotions being these communicators.
Right.
Our brain using it to protect us, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's a great example. If I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling anxiety in a social drinking arena, my brain's way of saying, hey, there's a threat here, and I want to protect you, so you're feeling this. Now, because we've been given a lot of authority, if I can say it that way, over how we think, and the idea about building new neural pathways, and I have done this, Jeff, where, okay, so-and-so, I'm going to need to be there, and I know there's going to be social drinking. This does not connect to an auto accident that happened to me 25 years, 30 years ago, whatever, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if it just happened like that because I said, okay, I'm going to think differently as you laugh, right? foolish mortal I am if I were to take that approach,
if you
right?
can figure that out, I'm sure there's at least a Nobel Prize in it for you.
Yeah, but I can't. So what I have to do is I have to make progress with that. And I'm saying that in light of whether there's multiple social drinking environments happening all the time,
mm-hmm.
or if it's something that happens twice a year, if I build a new neural pathway, I have a better chance of managing that activation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The activation of, oh, wait a minute, this is social drinking. In that event, there was social drinking that led to, and my ability to pivot,
mm-hmm.
and pivot to, yes, that is true. There was social drinking, and it did lead to,
mm-hmm.
but that was 30 years ago. It's not you. It's not your dad. This is just a party, a social gathering, whatever it mm-hmm. may be. You don't have to. Well, guess what, Jeff? That new neural pathway is cueing our brain in to go, oh, we don't need anxiety. He doesn't need to feel anxiety. He doesn't need to feel anxious. And I want to stress to our audience, this does not happen overnight. You do not build a new neural pathway paved with guardrails and speed limit signs overnight.
You know, most good things don't happen overnight.
And by the way, as I'm sure you would agree, I think you would agree, most of the stuff that comes easy to you is not worth much at all.
No.
It's the hard stuff that provides value.
The hard stuff that requires work.
Work.
No matter what it is.
No matter what it is. So for me, this is one example of using EQ. And I want to talk about the competencies that I've used in a minute. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the role that emotions play in our history.
Okay.
Right? So, Jeff, think back to a time, right, where you developed the core belief. I know you've used this example in many of our episodes about Chuck Taylor's.
Okay.
Right? And that one was built off of faulty information, right? I mean, there was probably some truth, a la, and I'm probably going to get some of the story wrong, but there's probably some truth. Maybe your parents really were not in a place economically for them to buy you Chuck Taylor's.
But yeah, whatever it was, they were beyond reach.
Beyond reach, whatever the reason, it was beyond reach. But that doesn't mean that your parents were bad people.
No.
It does not mean that Converse was wrong for selling them at the price they were selling them. It meant that in that place and time, they were out of reach. That was just what it was.
Yeah.
Right? So when you develop that neural pathway that says they're out of reach, that became your go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what your brain, okay. Hey, when someone says, well, why don't you buy Chuck Taylor's? In your head, more than likely, you said, no, I can't.
That's what was going on up there.
Okay. Now, your catalyst was your daughter kind of pulling you aside and like, well, Dad, you do realize you could buy,
go buy a pair.
You could buy a pair. You could afford them. Right?
Now, and bing, the light bulb went off, fireworks.
Now, someone could say, oh, Jeff, come on. Are you kidding me? It really took you that to, you didn't know. Well, see, this is where I think we minimize the power of core beliefs and this how our brain works.
Yeah, it was just a pair of tennis shoes, but that was in there and it didn't come up very often, but that pathway was still there.
It was still there. And I think there's a healthy process in the curiosity of examining our emotions and in history. Mm-hmm. And here's where I'm going. You go back to the event. What were you feeling back then? What were the emotions that you felt? And you fill in the blank with whatever the example, whether it was mine in the auto accident or yours in Chuck Taylor's, you felt something. And if you can do that, and I think we do have the power to do this, to look at it with curiosity, not with judgment. You know, stay away from blaming your dad, blaming your mom, blaming the world, blaming, who's at fault, who is wrong, none of that. But just, okay, when I go back to that event, these are the emotions I was feeling. I was feeling disappointed. I was feeling afraid. I was feeling frustrated. I was feeling anxiety, whatever it may be, and be able to, okay, what was behind that? What do you think your brain was trying to tell you? What were those emotions trying to communicate to you? Okay, explore, be curious, explore. Because I think, Jeff, and just as a reminder, we're not giving clinical advice here.
Exactly.
I'm just going through a process of how I've used EQ to help me. Some of us might need more help. So I feel compelled to stress that. But as I have found, the more that I slow down and pay attention and allow my emotions to communicate with me, it's always positioned me for aha moments, for, okay. And being able to question, oh my gosh, that did happen 30 years ago. 30 years ago, that situation is not relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, could it be I need to start working on rewiring my brain, changing the mm-hmm. way I think, building a new neural pathway, right? And oftentimes what I've found is that the answer is an absolute yes. But you know what? Very few of us get the notice that you should check those core beliefs and check those old emotions to make sure they're still valid. Mm-hmm. And now back to the episode. Jeff, what is the SEQ Development Report?
I'm glad you asked me that, Eric. The SEQ Development Report is something that we here at Spirit of EQ have developed to blend the idea of emotional intelligence with a person's spiritual life. And we're not talking about religion. We're talking about how they connect with themselves, other people, and the world around them.
Why is it important?
I think it's important because it allows someone to see where they stand, to give them information about maybe parts of their life they may need to work on, parts of their life that they're really doing well and learn to leverage it. And it just gives a person a better way of getting through the world.
So how do you get this report?
Well, first, you need to contact us. Mm-hmm. Info@spiritofeq is just a great way to do it. Then you would take an assessment, 15, 20 minutes, done online. And then after that, the report requires a debrief to go through all the things in it because it's got a ton of information. And then if you want to further your journey, we can do coaching and things like that with you down the road. And that's basically it.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. And we'll be back to the episode after this. I almost liken it, Jeff, to software. If you came over to my house because you wanted to work on something and you knew that I had a computer that could do whatever, mm-hmm. and you come over and you sit down with me, I fire it up and you see that sign that says Windows 95.
That's what I was just thinking. I would go, maybe I'll go to the library.
You'd be ever so blunt about it, right? Because obviously I'm using dated software. Mm-hmm. I'm using software that's obsolete. Now, I might have figured out ways to make it work, right? Mm-hmm. I might have installed another software that allows it to bridge over and do some things, but I probably have all kinds of patches and band-aids.
In mechanic words, you did a bodge.
Okay, right? And Jeff, you might ask me, well, why is it that you still have Windows 95? Well, because it's software.
What I've always had.
It's what I've always had. So I've always used. It's what my dad said I must use. Mm-hmm. It's what my college professor told me I could only use.
That's what he was using.
Right?
Yeah.
All of that, right? And you'd probably then ask, Eric, do you realize that there's now Windows 11? And this is key, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Then we're at a crossroads because there's the anxiety of realizing I'm using obsolete software, and then there's the anxiety of the unknown. Windows 11? And then we start making these, I think the negotiations begin, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I already know Windows 95. I know it sucks at times, and I know I have to restart my computer 3 or 4 times before I can get going on anything, but I know that I can always get coffee while it's doing its thing, and typically I always let my boss know that you got to give me an extra 3 days, so all of a sudden I'm starting to romanticize.
It's not supported anymore.
Ooh. But I'm having this conversation in my head. You're bringing out facts that is jarring me, right? Mm-hmm. Now you'd say, well, come on, nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to use Windows 95. It's not supported. It's obsolete. But Jeff, how many of us as human beings are operating on old software? And here's my connection to when I said we have the power, authority, autonomy, mm-hmm. whatever. I can go out and get Windows 11. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I might also need to get a new computer that will run on Windows 11.
Right.
But I can do that. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why I couldn't. outside of probably my brain resisting this idea of moving on from that old neural pathway, mm-hmm. that old core belief. And I want to tell you where these traumas and the triggers associated, it is very hard work.
Mm-hmm.
The upside, the optimistic side, is that's where the gold is. That's where the gold is. It's not with the, I'll just do what I've always done. That's easy.
Mm-hmm. The how much emotional energy are you saving when you get past these triggers?
Well, I mean, even if we do it from a simple equation of like a water bottle, the more that you drink out of the water bottle or the more that you pour out, it mm-hmm. makes room because then there's space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we really evaluate that earnestly
mm-hmm.
because if we took a step back and slowed it down a bit, we'd have to realize we're expending a lot of energy every single day with all kinds of things. I don't know of anyone that I've ever met that says, you know, as time has gone on, I have less and less to deal with. I have less and less problems, meaning what circumstances mm-hmm. might be. So when you think about it, it's almost an imperative that we address these triggers, these traumas, these core beliefs, and get them set as to, are they valid? Do they need to be there? Has it been transformed or is it being transferred so that you can build space, which gives you more of that energy?
That new software, your Windows 11,
yes.
is going to just process it so much better.
And by the way, for my friends at Apple, I'm a Mac user, so I just forgot what the old Mac, maybe it was Leopard or something like that. I mean, something of that nature. I just had to say that, Jeff, because I'm an Apple boy.
I know. I was just waiting. Why is he doing this? Because I'm the opposite.
I knew. Maybe that was it. I knew you were a PC user. So
I've learned to tolerate Apple users.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for tolerating me. Yeah, I think that's a great question and observation. I mean, I don't know how many, especially in the United States, how many people are operating at a good level of capacity.
You're never going to reach peak.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But you want to get as close as you can.
Well, and to your point, I know you're a motorhead, right? I mean, you want to do everything you can to make sure that the engine is able to do what it was designed to do.
Mm-hmm. And if you really get into doing that, there's lots of things that go into that other than just putting a turbocharger on it.
Right, right.
You have to do a lot of other things if you really want. You just look at the preparation that goes into a racing engine. Mm-hmm. See, you've ignited that. That's your fault.
Yeah, I'll take the blame.
No, but it's a lot of work. And the thing is, when you're doing this, as you're trying to increase the capacity, some things are going to break once in a while or wear out.
Yeah.
But you learn from those.
Yep.
Okay. That part from that place, it's junk. So I'm going to get this part from that place. So pay attention to what's going on with you. Okay. That idea didn't work. Okay. Be honest. Okay, let's try a different idea. It's not always going to be just a linear better, 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 better. It's going to...
Yeah, it's going to have a blend of things mm-hmm. in that process, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting to me too? Though it is hard, it is straightforward. It is simple. And I say this in drawing a connection back to the engine equation, right? Or analogy. I can't tell you how many shows I've watched, people, auto repair places mm-hmm. I follow on Instagram, or even the person that works on my car.
Yeah.
They'll come back and say, if you just come in for your basic maintenance on schedule, that's, you're going to increase the life, right?
There's a really good YouTube channel I follow called Just Rolled In.
Interesting.
And it's mechanics and it's this is a, you know, a 19 or a 2002 Volkswagen. This is what it looks like inside because it's never had the oil changed and it's just a block.
Yeah. And that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
So some of this, though hard, is fundamental and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some complex equation. It's not like you've got to be able to work on the engine of a 2025 Honda Accord. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's you doing your part of the work, right? And I guess when I think about that, Jeff, we've fooled ourselves into believing that, for example, money. And I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. What is the real value of money? Okay, realizing, here's the bad news. I don't care how much money you have. Once the game is over here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
the money's either going to someone else or something else, or it goes nowhere because there's nothing left.
Right.
So how much, what's the value of it? And I'm not poo-pooing making money. I mean, yeah, granted, it'll forge you to make different choices and such mm-hmm. and such. But I think where it's insidious is it's been allowed to get a portion of our souls that it was never intended to. And here's where I'm going with that. Maybe I don't want to look at my neural pathways and my triggers and my core beliefs. So I'll use money to cover over that. I'll create a wall, a protective mm-hmm. wall. Because society is not going to question me the more money I make. Society will probably applaud me and act differently toward me if I have it. So I get the bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll think I'm something special and you won't ask me about what's behind that wall. That's money. We could keep going. It could be relationships, romantic, right? It could be titles and awards and certifications that we use like the wizard, right? Remember the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Man, when you looked up and you saw the image, the great and awesome Oz. And we have this little dog that lets us know there's this guy furiously moving the toggles, moving the things, right?
Yeah.
And the trueness of that scene, Jeff, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And you know what's profound to me in that? It's his statement. Don't look at the real me. Don't look at who is really here. Which implies the wizard was afraid. The wizard might have been afraid, might have been ashamed, might have been insecure, might have thought he needed a curtain and he needed a big display.
Uh-huh.
He needed all that power. Man.
So how many curtains is Toto pulling back that we need to pay attention behind?
Right. And in our previous episode, I think it's going to drop just before this one, mm-hmm. we talked about caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a time in my life where I was like the wizard. I did. But you know what? I had Jim Kaminsky. I had Rick Williams, who said, I'm not ashamed that you blew it. I'm not ashamed that now I can see behind the curtain.
Question for you.
Yeah.
How much effort was the wizard putting in?
Oh, that's another powerful part. Could you imagine, Jeff? And I apologize if I'm pulling us down a rabbit hole, but I think it connects. It's like, what if the wizard, not what if, when the wizard ran out of energy, ran out of strength, and could no longer work at that pace, what then?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you say that, Jeff, I think again about the facade and the working and the and I'll build a wall and then I'm going to build this and they spend lifetime and then one day. Now my hope, my optimistic side is that one day comes before the day. And maybe there is, Jeff, I'm not a wizard. I don't have that power.
Well, nothing beneficial happened until he didn't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well played.
Dorothy didn't make it home.
Yeah.
You know, the whole story.
So, to our point, it does imply that we have to get to work on what is behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Once again, find those 1, 2, 3, whatever number of people who really don't care. And maybe if they looked you in the eye, they'd say, I always knew you weren't a wizard.
Well, I think that really don't care for the facade.
Yeah, exactly. They yeah. really, yes, thank you for clarity. Yeah. No, it is the, I don't care if you're a wizard. I don't care if you're a junk bonds dealer. I don't care if you're a janitor. I don't care if you're a waitress. I don't need that in order to be your friend, to be the person who will give you care. Because as much as we'd like to have the happy Hollywood ending where the wizard goes, oh yeah, that was really a bad mistake, and I'm different now, it's all better now. You and I both know, once again, Jeff, it just is, there's no snap.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. You will need a community, be it small, be it large, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. is applicable to help you as you're examining these things, to help you when, Jeff, they come to you and they say, Jeff, I've tried to work through these triggers and this trauma and all of that, and I'm not having good success. I've decided I'm going to go see a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to be able to say, and that you will say, I think that's a good idea. You need people like that around mm-hmm. you, because coming out from behind the curtain is hard and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard and scary if you think you can do it alone.
Right.
So I'm going to end the show with talking about some of the EQ things that have helped as it relates to health, peace of mind. And some of that is, we talked about the curiosity and paying attention to the emotions, what you felt and what you're feeling, you know, drawing some connection. And some of that may be rooted in consequential thinking, which is a competency we have.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it may connect to empathy, emotional literacy. But I'm thinking in terms of process. I like this idea of, and he brought this up in one of our episodes, and we'll put it in the show notes. So the title of the book is Thinking Fast and Slow.
Okay? Okay.
And the author is Daniel Kahneman, I believe, probably mispronouncing his last name. But he talks about there's different situations in our lives that require fast thinking and slow thinking,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't think in the book he really comes out and talks about emotional intelligence so much, but I think it does relate to the EQ practice, right? This idea that certain things do require fast thinking. You're at a traffic light. The light goes from red to green. You're going to apply fast thinking. A friend calls you and says, my wife just filed for divorce. That's not fast thinking.
No.
That should imply slow down. I think the ability, building up a sort of that neural pathway of I'm going to think fast, I'm going to think slow, is a very helpful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it also does is it helps us with the emotional energy piece. Because if you misapply this idea of thinking fast or thinking slow, you might be applying and using energy that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it being misdirected. And I think that presents a problem. So just some kind of final tips there. With that, we do appreciate you tuning in as always. And we look forward to the next time we're together. Take care. Hi, everyone. This is Eric Pennington with The Spirit of EQ. I'm not introducing a new episode today. I'm here to tell you some things that might help you. Jeff, you're with me as always. So
yes.
How do people get in touch with us?
Well, the best way is just send us an email at info@spiritofeq.com.
That's awesome. Jeff, I was also thinking about reviews, and I'm notoriously bad at asking for them, so reviews on all of the platforms, wherever you get your podcasts,
yes.
You think that'd be good?
I think that would be great because, one, that will help us learn how to make better ones, and it's always good for us
to hear. So we're not the perfect podcast hosts?
We're close.
Okay, all right, but
not,
still.
Not totally
perfect.
We want
your feedback. We want your feedback.
But it also might let us know a new subject. Hey, we need to dig deeper into that.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think.
Cool. We really appreciate that. As always, too, there is social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and we also have a YouTube channel. Those also have mechanisms or options for you to be able to leave a comment, a like, or those kind of things. Just want to make sure that you know how to get in touch with us. Right, Jeff?
Right. We appreciate you all.
Thank you. Once again, we really appreciate you tuning in today. One of the things that Jeff and I want to bring to your attention as well is that when we created this podcast, it was not intended to take the place of a clinician. In other words, if you find yourself in a place where there's something deeper going on or something that you cannot solve on your own, we do recommend that you reach out to a clinician of some sort. This podcast is purely opinion-based, and it is rooted in the desire to help you along your path in whatever way we can. However, it is never going to replace, nor should it ever be looked at as a replacement for clinical help in any way. Thanks again for tuning in.